We often talk about the support and the services provided by RNIB for people who are losing their sights, people who have already lost their sight, and indeed their friends and family as well. That's just some of the services. But what we thought we would do is speak to some individuals who have been on that sight loss journey. Now, today we're heading to Belfast in Northern Ireland. Julianne is there. So tell me a little bit about your sight loss journey, Julianne. Where did it all begin?
Unfortunately, I was involved in a horrible car accident in September 2020. It was a high-speed police pursuit of a driver who was banned, who was on drugs, who hit me side on. I had a stroke, brain injuries, and hemianopia. And, as a 45-year-old at that time, parent with a successful career, my life completely changed.
It's been a relatively short space of time then since you lost your sight because of the accident, Julianne. What kind of changes has that caused for you on a sort of day-to-day basis?
Losing your independence is a big, big thing. And trying to be a mum to a daughter with her own disabilities is very difficult, And during COVID, for example, I couldn't get my long cane training because of isolation. So my long cane training was put on hold for 12 to 18 months. But ultimately, I'm on my own with my daughter and also social isolation. During COVID, there was already a barrier being able to mix with people. But when you add on a sight loss, that makes it 10 times worse. But I would say losing the independence was the biggest factor for me in terms of challenges that I faced.
What about your family and friends? Was it difficult for them while you were going through all this?
I never want to be a burden or for anyone to feel sorry for me. I had to try and regain independence because that's part of who I am. And with that, you become anxious, exhausted, fragile. People don't know how to react. And you do get very, very frustrated with yourself. And then you're trying to do things and you don't want to give up. You keep trying. And for others around you, I suppose they're coming to terms with it. But they're also feeling the frustration and the anxiety that I have.
Especially, it sounds, for yourself, that was difficult. Such an independent person having to come to terms with sight loss and try and, I suppose, maintain that independence. So, not want to rely on people to help, seeing
Yeah,
yourself as a burden.
completely. Like I had a hospital appointment last week for a procedure, and I had to try and get two buses to the hospital, have the procedure, and then get two buses home. And being in an accident, my income has dropped substantially. I can't afford to get taxis everywhere. Trying to navigate public transport when you don't have a long cane because you haven't finished your training due to delays. And it's very hard when you were independent before, having driven for 25 years to say, sorry, can you take time out to take me somewhere? It's hard to do, and you don't like to feel like you're a burden.
Did you come across stereotypes, these outdated stereotypes we talk about, and barriers that you never knew were even there before?
Sometimes, say someone's out with me and I ask a question, people will give the answer to the person who's with me. I always say to people, I don't have a learning disability as well as partial sight loss. I can speak up for myself. I wouldn't be rude, but I will then interrupt and say, sorry, what was the answer to that question? And again, it's a lack of knowledge and education. I had a great career in film and television, digital media. And it's ironic because I very much was about access for all. And in Northern Ireland, I was able to secure funding from a government agency to launch the Cinema Access Programme, which put audio description and subtitling into every cinema in Northern Ireland. And it's ironic, now I'm in that position where I am a service user who needs those facilities. I'll not name the cinema, but I was at the cinema for the first time ever a couple of weeks ago. And my mum and I went up to the counter where you'd given your tickets. And I said, sorry, I need an audio description headset. And there were four staff members standing and they said, go over to the concessions and pointed. And I couldn't see what they're doing. And I said, sorry, what? And mum said, oh, there's a queue at the concessions, people getting their popcorn. And the four staff members stood there. So we went over, got the headset, went in, and I quickly realized it wasn't working. So I had to go out to the staff members again and say, that's not working. So they said, oh, go over to the concession stand again. And I said, no, sorry, could you sort it? So ultimately, they sorted it. But I had to navigate going back in darkness to try and find my mum, who was trying to whisper for me. So it's things like that. Again, it's knowledge and education. People maybe need to think outside the box and have a, as I said, they should have had a champion. If they're having an accessible screening, a staff member who's there who could deal with those problems and maybe just guide me back into the cinema and say, are you okay to get to your seat?
While you were facing these challenges, were there any opportunities that came from it? Were there any positives or new directions that came from it?
I have to say that I have had great support from the RNIB, and in particular, Olive Rogers, who's a community access worker and an activity leader with the RNIB in Belfast. And I now help facilitate workshops for blind and partially sighted people on crafts. And Olive was looking at some of the things that I did. And I said, you know, wouldn't it be great if some of our groups could do this? And we have people there who are there with their guide dogs, no sight whatsoever, partially sighted, making items such as paper flowers. And I say, if I can do it being partially sighted, well, then you guys can do it. And it is so, so rewarding. And I've met new friends there. But also I'm doing with Una Mulgrew in Belfast, I'm doing a clay workshop. It's all through online video. So we get the packs delivered out and we're sitting trying to make things. And it's tactile because you're feeling clay and you're doing things. But I would say, you know, in terms of my experience and my skill set, I joined a customer involvement advisory group in RNIB. I went forward for that. So we had our first online meeting. We're having another meeting in London. And I am thoroughly enjoying it because we can give firsthand experience of what it's like being a customer out in the big bad world as it is at the moment with COVID and everything else, and really have firsthand knowledge and hopefully help to develop policy and programs to benefit all of us in the sight loss community.
Would you have a word of advice or a piece of advice you give someone who perhaps is just perhaps beginning on that sight loss journey?
There's no shame in asking for help. Benjamin Franklin said, from adversity comes opportunity. And I asked with the RNIB, and I have to be honest, they've been a lifeline to me, as well as sensory support services in Northern Ireland, because I felt to an extent my life was nearly over. You can't imagine what it's like to lose part of your sight. It's very, very hard, and it comes with a lot of mental challenges. Be brave and ask for that help.
Just finally, Julianne, you know, for many of us, there's perhaps a person, a place, or a song that makes a big impression on us. Would you have anything like that you can share with us?
Yes, a person, my daughter, and she's autism spectrum disorder and social anxiety. And through COVID and the aftermath of my accident, she has overcome so much. She overcame her fear and took driving lessons, passed her test last week, which is amazing. She's like, Mom, we can get a car and I can transport you to places to make life much easier. I also needed a stair lift because of my balance and my sight and problems after the accident. And she went out and fundraised. And that was a big thing for her, again, because of her anxiety and her autism. And she fundraised over £1,000 for me towards a stair lift. So that was a massive, massive achievement. In terms of place, well, I would say Carlingford in Ireland. Some may have heard about it. It's a beautiful, beautiful place. It's just over the border at Newry. And I used to go there regularly by car with my mum for short breaks. And I would have always called it my haven for peace and tranquility. So I've set myself a goal. I want to revisit. So it's something I'm looking forward to do in the future. Maybe my daughter will be able to take me there. Maybe I will try public transport once I finish my long cane training. But Carlingford holds a special place in my heart. And I think getting there through whatever form of transport and being able to stay overnight will be a reminder that things are achievable. And finally, in terms of song, Andra Day's song Rise Up. It's a song about perseverance, courage and confidence. But I play this song once a day. I have it in my faith to sort of help me take on the challenges. And, you know, we do rise up each day. We get up. We face our challenges, but try and persevere, have courage and confidence.
Julianne, congratulations to your daughter, first of all, for passing a driving test. And thank you for telling us your story on RNIB Connect Radio.
Thank you very much indeed.